Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. It says, "It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gift. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith." Amen? You know, we talk often about faith. And when we read this scripture, there's a lot of times we talk about his faith. We talk about the fact that maybe his brother was jealous. We talk about a lot of different things between these two brothers. But in the New King James Version, which I'm going to read next, it uses a different word that I feel like oftentimes we don't focus on as much. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, through the New King James, it says, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice, than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being still dead, still speaks." So, what the thing that jumped out to me was sacrifice. We talk about faith all the time. I mean, it's something that we talk about often. Talk about how important faith is. But what about sacrifice? How often do we talk about sacrifice? It says here that his sacrifice is what gave evidence that he was a righteous man. It didn't say that his faith gave evidence that he was a righteous man. It says that his sacrifice, his offering, his sacrifice. Now, I'm not taking up another offering. This is about sacrifice, not what you would consider an offering, okay? So you can rest at ease. You're already worried. I'm not doing that. It's about a sacrifice. So we have to understand what sacrifice is. It says, "Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." What is your sacrifice? We like to say that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And sometimes in saying that, we're kind of implying that we no longer have to make sacrifices. It's just this thing, we're like, well, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice, and, you know, he died for my sins, and he paid the sacrifice so that we no longer have to offer sacrifices anymore. Well, we no longer have to offer blood sacrifices anymore, but we still need to sacrifice, because it was through a sacrifice that showed how righteous Abel was. God tested him. He saw him. He was proven, Abel was proven in his sacrifice. So we talk so much about faith, and I know that I know many of you have great faith, but do you have great sacrifice? So let's look into that a little bit more today. Sacrifices, number one, are to be made in faith. Sacrifices are to be made in faith. Number two, sacrifices are to be made to God. We're to make sacrifices to God. Oftentimes we think of sacrifice, we think of things we do for our family. And if you make sacrifices for your family so that they have an opportunity to know and understand more of the Lord, that is an acceptable thing of sacrifice. Number three, sacrifices can yield a variety of great rewards. So what is sacrifice? Let's look at the definition. It says, an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important. I'm going to say that again. An act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important. I like this quote. It says, if you don't sacrifice for what you want becomes the sacrifice. Sometimes you have to make a sacrifice for the things that you want. You know, I'm reminded of Corey Johnson, who was, many of you do know Corey. He grew up in this church. We saw him get married and have kids, and he was our worship leader for a time and part of our worship team. And when Corey had a dream, He had a dream. He wanted to be a pilot. He had no schooling on it. He was late in his 20s and said, well, you know, like most people, I've already chosen my path of life, you know. I don't get anymore. And he would go, like a little kid, to the airport, and he would stand at the fence and watch. I mean, like a child, he would stand at the fence and watch planes fly in and fly out. Because he had a dream of one day flying. You know, so what he began to look at, though, is to accomplish that dream, he had to begin to sacrifice other things in his life. He began to have to live differently. His family had to, dynamics had to change. His wife, Rebecca, had to become more of the breadwinner to allow him an opportunity to go to school and an opportunity to work jobs for hardly any money, just so that he could begin to try to find that dream. It was a sacrifice. You know, he began to sacrifice maybe a certain home. He had to sacrifice thing, maybe cars that he drove. He had to sacrifice certain things maybe that he wanted in life because he had a dream. Because otherwise you could keep living your life, keep living it the way that you are, and sacrifice the dream. Well, I'm going to give up on that because it's not realistic for me. Too many people have given up on dreams that God told you were for you because you're not willing to make the sacrifice that's required for what God promised you. Did you get that? See, God gave you a promise, and I know he did. I know many of you have a promise that God gave you, but you've given up on that promise because the sacrifice to get there is too great. Well, it's not feasible for me. I'm past that time in my life. But if you're still breathing, God's not done. Amen? He's still got a plan for you. He still wants to fulfill that promise that he gave you. You know, oftentimes we are the ones that stop our promises from coming. Most of the time we are the ones that stop our promises from coming. We like to blame it on someone else. Well, that person messed up my promise. No, we messed it up. Oftentimes because we don't want to sacrifice what it requires to get there. You know, anytime I get the opportunity to quote Dave Ramsey, I do. So he says, his quote is, if you'll live like no one else, later you can live like no one else. Huh. What's that mean? Well, it means if you live now like no one else, if you do things that no one else is willing to do, later you can live like no one else. You make the sacrifice now. He said, live on beans and rice and beans until you're out of debt so that later you can live like no one else. Later you can have what no one else has. I mean, you can't put a value on peace of mind. Hallelujah. Sometimes you have to make sacrifice to have that peace of mind. Because it's not worth living through life going, well, I have all these bills. I have all these things I have to pay. I have to live paycheck to paycheck. God did not call you to live paycheck to paycheck. He did not call you to live paycheck to paycheck. Because he has a more excellent way. But it requires sacrifice. Everything in our life requires a sacrifice. You know, showing up on Sunday morning, it may require a sacrifice at times. You know, I know to get to where I've gotten it, it took some sacrifice. I didn't get to go and do some certain things. I didn't go on certain trips. I didn't do certain things. Why? Because I knew I was making a sacrifice to spend time with the Lord, to be in the house of God. I made that a priority, which was a sacrifice. Because I wanted something more valuable, I wanted something more precious that the Lord had for me than what I could have elsewhere. Y'all with me today? You know, when I graduated college, I had a degree in television communications, and all my life I had wanted to work. I had just thought, man, I want to be a director for sports. I love sports. I did work for Monday Night Football for a little while and did a few games and stuff like that. But I had wanted to work for the SEC Network. And film all the football games. I love football and I love TV, and I thought that's what I wanted to do. And then all of a sudden, it was like this realization came to me one day that if I lived that lifestyle, I never would be in church. I'd work every weekend. I'd never be in church. And then I began to watch people in that lifestyle. When I was working for Monday Night Football and those things, I began to see those people and listen to their stories. They would begin to tell me about how many times they've been divorced, about how they have kids they never see, about how they do this and they do that in life. Now, they tell me all the cool places they've been. But when I began to look and see all the other things that came with it, even though I wanted to do that, I knew I had to make a sacrifice not to do that, to live a life, though, that God would find pleasing. And I never went into that industry. I stopped it. I went in and started working TV for Dr. Bob Rogers and Evangel, and I became his television producer for a while because I could work it during the week, and I was attending church, and I was able to continue my relationship with the Lord. I had to make a sacrifice. I had to make a sacrifice. Understanding faith and sacrifice is very important. They're very different. See, faith was the engine that led to Abel's sacrifice. Faith is your engine to help you make the sacrifice. See, it was by faith that Abel had a more perfect, excellent offering, sacrifice to the Lord. It was his faith that helped him get there. So faith is wonderful. I want you to have faith. But faith should lead you to a sacrifice. It should require, it should push you to make a sacrifice. But oftentimes we focus on faith but not sacrifice. We like to say we have faith to believe for a better job. Anybody ever been there? Uh-huh. You're afraid to go with there with me, aren't you, this morning? I can tell y'all are a timid bunch this morning. Yeah? You've had faith. Some of people say, I've had faith to believe for a better job. That's wonderful. What about the sacrifice? Well, to get the better job, maybe you had to go to online school. I remember when I grew up as a child, my mom went to night school. They don't have night school like they do then. Now you can just do it online. But she went to night school. Two kids. But she went to night school. Why? For the promise of a better future. For the promise of a better job. To make a better home life for her family. Right? It took a sacrifice. Many of you are standing here today saying, well, you know, I come up here, I'm praying to God to give me this, God to give me that. I think there's a better job for me. But you're not willing to put in the sacrifice that it takes to get the promise that God has for you. It takes sacrifice. It takes doing things differently. Many people come up here and they say, oh, I have faith to be healed. Hallelujah. Who has faith to be healed? Uh-huh. Y'all timid bunch. Timid bunch this morning. Y'all scared. You think I'm setting you up? I am. You know, I got faith to be healed. But when the doctor says, hey, you know what you got to do? You got to exercise to lose weight. You got to stop eating this type of food. This type, you can't eat red meat. You got to stop smoking. You got to stop drinking. You got to stop doing these things. Well, that takes a little bit of sacrifice. I don't want to do that. But I have faith. Jesus, heal me. I come up for prayer every Sunday morning. You know, I believe that you'll lower my cholesterol, Jesus, but I'm going to eat 6 pounds of bacon. But I got faith. Faith becomes the easy part. It's easy to stand up here and come up here for prayer and put it all on somebody else. I'm going to go sit down for a while. No, do you understand what I'm saying? It's easy to put it on someone else, but when it comes home to you, when it knocks on your door, what sacrifice are you willing to make for what God wants for you? Faith becomes the easy part. Oh, that's easy. But I'm going to tell you, it's not faith, it's a wish list. It's thinking you serve a genie in a bottle and you don't. You serve a God that has conditions, that has a plan for his people, but he has parameters. We don't work within those parameters anymore because Jesus paid the sacrifice. He paid it all. Right? No. He laid down his life so that you may be saved. He laid down his life so that you could spend eternity with him. But what are you willing to sacrifice for him now? Having faith for God to do something, but not being willing to change, not being willing to make a sacrifice, makes us no different than Cain. And the Lord would look at, like he looked at Cain and Abel, and he wasn't satisfied with Cain's offering because he wasn't satisfied with his sacrifice. If God looked at us, would he say he's not pleased with your sacrifice? Oh, but you got faith. You got faith. Let's look at Abraham and Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. Verses 1 and 2, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Hello, God can test your faith. I don't know if you know that. I got faith to be healed. God can test your faith. I got faith for a better job. God can test your faith. You have faith. It says, but God tested his faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. His faith was tested by his willingness to sacrifice. His faith, God tested Abraham's faith by his willingness to sacrifice. But you know, here's what we do. Here's what we do. Well, God's a good God. He's a just God. He wouldn't ask me to do that. You know, God would never ask me to sacrifice something I love. Sacrifice my children. He would never ask me to sacrifice something so dear to me because he's a good God. Right? He's just. He's loving. He has grace. Oh, yeah, they're wonderful. Those are attributes of the Lord. Amen? But he will test your faith by your willingness to make a sacrifice. Abraham was willing. Every time he took Isaac, as he grabbed the wood and he grabbed the axe and he grabbed all the stuff, Isaac kept saying, Dad, where's the sacrifice? What was his response? The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. He had faith. To make the sacrifice. Faith is the engine for the sacrifice. You don't have the faith you think you have if it's not propelling you to make the sacrifice. Yeah, okay, God's a good God, so you know, he's not going to ask you to make that sacrifice like that. But what about this one? Go sell your possessions and follow him. How many do I have signing up? Today's the sign up. The sign-up sheet's up front today. Come on. We're selling all of our possessions to follow him. Who's signing up today? Yeah? Man, I'll clear the church faster than anybody ever did. To join this church, you have to sell everything you own to become a member here so we can follow Jesus. I wouldn't be preaching to very many. It takes sacrifice. Well, we can't do that because God wouldn't ask me to do that because I got to provide for my family. Why? Because he can't provide for your family? Well, I can't do that because, well, no, we can't do that because we don't have the faith to make a sacrifice. That's why we can't do it. When the Lord spoke to my wife and I, and said, move to Ecuador. Sell everything you have and move. We didn't hesitate. Matter of fact, we didn't hesitate. We went and talked to people, and they said, you know, it's going to take you this amount of time to raise that money. It's going to take you this amount of time to prepare yourself to go. We said we would leave on 4th of July, and in February, we were on a plane. Why? Because time. God's outside of time. He's outside of time. If he does it, he does it when he wants to do it. It's in his time, not our time. We sold everything we own. It was amazing. We're sitting there selling furniture. This was the craziest story. Tiffany's working for a family, and we were selling some stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, we want to come look at some of your furniture you're selling. And so they come walking in our house, and they kind of look at our house, and they're like, ooh, I like that. This room's decorated all nice. It's pretty. And they're looking at it, and then they kind of stop, and they're like, so what are you selling? We're like, this, everything. Everything's going. We're selling it all. Except me. I didn't sell my Jeep. Okay. I didn't make that sacrifice. No. But we're selling everything. And this couple comes in, they're looking at all the stuff we're selling, and they say, well, what about the house? And we're like, well, we don't own the house. You know, we were just renting right now. And they're like, okay, well, let's call your renter. Let's not move your furniture. We want to rent your house and just keep your furniture. And they did. It was a little weird. But they did. They just moved right in. We moved out. They moved in. And but God can provide like that. But you have to be willing to make a sacrifice. We sit there the whole time and try to plan that out in our head. Well, where are we going to go if this happens? What are we going to do if this happens? What are we going to do if we sell everything and then it don't work out? It's because we don't have faith to make the sacrifice that God can do what he said he would do. It takes sacrifice, church, to please the Lord. It takes a sacrifice. You know, and I don't think that we can talk about sacrifice today without talking about mothers. I knew I'd get to a Mother's Day sermon eventually. You know, we know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was willing to make a sacrifice, right? She sacrificed what people thought of her to give birth to the Messiah. She sacrificed. She was willing to sacrifice her relationship with her future husband to accept the responsibility to carry the Messiah, Jesus, in her womb. Right? Again, the definition, the act of giving up something valued for something regarded as more important. I don't think anyone knows more than mothers and how much sacrifice is often required. I think through time, women have sacrificed careers, ambitions, dreams, just to be a mom or a wife. Because that's what the world kind of said you had to do. But women have always learned to sacrifice. Mothers and spiritual mothers and ladies in general, they don't hesitate when it comes to sacrifice. And scientifically, it's proven that the greatest motivator for a sacrifice is love. It's the greatest motivator for a sacrifice is love. And ladies have that innate ability to do that. They have that innate ability to make that sacrifice. They're willing to lay things down for the good of something else. It's oftentimes we see so many mothers do that for their children, their spouses, their family. They make sacrifices all the time. Most of them go very much unnoticed. They're very much unnoticed. And today on Mother's Day, we recognize them, but do we recognize their sacrifice? Do we recognize the things that they had to give up, the things that they've laid down? You know, as I began to think about that, I began to look at the Bible. You know, we like to look at the Bible for answers. And so I thought that let's look at some women that have made some great sacrifices. But, you know, in the Bible, it only mentions between 93 and 150, actually, women. Some people say it's only 93. Some people say it's up to 150 that mention women by name. And their words, the words that ladies have spoken, women of the Bible have spoken, is just barely over 1% of the Bible. Do you know that, Brother Lou? It's just under 15,000 words is all that ladies have spoken in the Bible. Now, I know that that's not historically accurate because I know ladies that can speak 15,000 words between dinner and time to go to bed. Walk over here. There's a story in the Bible of a woman who didn't hesitate to make a great sacrifice, and the Lord blessed her richly. In Exodus chapter 2, I'm going to read 10 verses here for you in Exodus chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, about this time, a man and woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance watching to see what would happen to him. And soon Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the riverbank. And when the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. And when the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This must be one of the Hebrew children," she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. "Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse for the baby for you?" she asked. "Yes, do," the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. "Take this baby and nurse him for me," the princess told the baby's mother, "and I will pay you for your help." So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. And later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who had adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, "I lifted him out of the water." This wonderful story that we focus on the birth of Moses, we don't often think about the sacrifice of his mother. Matter of fact, as we begin this passage right here, it doesn't even tell us her name. Does anyone know her name? I got a couple hands. But most of us don't even know her name because it's not mentioned until Exodus chapter 6, verse 20. It says, Aram married his father's sister, Jochebed, and she gave birth to his sons, Aaron and Moses. Jochebed. That was Moses' mother, a lady who was willing to make a sacrifice. Why did she have to make this sacrifice? See, there was a decree that came out that the Egyptians were getting too powerful, or the Hebrews were getting too powerful, and she said, the Egyptians said, we have to begin to kill all of the boys. And the midwives, they didn't want to do this because they feared the Lord. And Jochebed didn't want to do this, so she gave birth to her son, and she hid him for as long as she could. She protected him for 3 months, but she knew she couldn't protect him any longer. She knew that she had to make a sacrifice. I have to give my child, my son, away. I have to give him away. I have to let him go. I have to be willing to make a sacrifice so that I can trust God and put him in the Lord's hands. She didn't know what was going to happen to Moses when she put him in that basket and sent him down the river. She didn't know if he'd be found. She didn't know Pharaoh's daughter would find him and take him under her wing. But she knew that if she held on to him, that he would surely be killed. Because Pharaoh made a decree, take all the boys, and throw them into the Nile River, drown them. If they couldn't destroy them at birth, they were killing them when they found them at 3, 4, 5, 6 months old, a year old. So Jochebed knew she had to make a sacrifice. Sometimes we have to let something go so God can use it. When we try to hold on to it, we're trying to control what God wants to do with it. And we have to let it go so God can use it. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that is required. We have to be willing to make a... She didn't hesitate. A mother who just gave birth, imagine, has to make a sacrifice. Are you willing to make sacrifices for what God wants for your life? Do we hesitate in that? Moses, it was interesting here too, even Moses, it says when Jochebed brought him back to her, So I don't know how long of time that she got to raise her son. But not only did she get to raise her son, it was Pharaoh's daughter who paid her to do so. See, oftentimes we think that we have to control the situation, but if we just give it to God, he'll give it back to us and give us a reward with it. Because when we make a sacrifice, we receive a reward. Not only did she receive the reward for being paid to raise her own son, but Jochebed raised three of the most important figures in the Bible: Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Her children are mentioned in the Bible more than Jochebed was ever mentioned. They did great things because of her sacrifice. You don't understand the power of a sacrifice. You want your children to do great things. You want your family to do great things. What are you willing to sacrifice for them to do great things for the Lord? It was because of Jochebed's sacrifice that her children went on to do powerful things. And it's interesting here, and when it talks about them, it says that they lived to be 137 years old, because I believe they got to see. It even says other passages, not in Scripture, other readings, other Scriptures say that she got to enter the land of Canaan. She got to see her son rise up and be the deliverer for the Hebrew children. Wow, how powerful, how amazing it is to make a sacrifice and then to see your children, to see your offspring walk in the plan and see how God used their life. It's powerful. It's amazing. It's amazing. But some are even here today that are mothers that didn't get to see that out of their children. They had to make a sacrifice early, sooner than they wanted to, with their own children that went on to be with the Lord. That's still a sacrifice that you've made that God will still reward you for. God wants to bless you for your sacrifice. When you walk in that sacrifice, God has a blessing for you. See, when we see, and the other thing that I found interesting in here, it says that Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses because she brought him out of the water. She brought him out of the water. That's the name she gave him, because I delivered him out of the water. But what did he do? He parted the Red Sea and walked across it. Because in the natural, someone can give you a name to bring you out of the water, but God can give you the strength to part the waters. But his mother, it says she looked at him and she knew he was good. And she called him Tav. Tav. Which was first used by God and means good. The Lord used it in Genesis when he made all of creation. And it said, and the Lord looked at everything he made and he said, it was good. It was tav. We actually see that in a phrase that the Jewish culture uses when they say, mazel tov. That means good luck. Mazel tov. When his mother looked at him, says she looked at him and knew he was good. She knew he was special. She knew he had a plan, that God had a plan for his life. God had a plan for his life. And because of the plan that she knew God had, she was willing to make a sacrifice. Here is where our quote at the beginning makes a lot of sense. If you don't sacrifice for what you want becomes the sacrifice. She had to sacrifice that she wanted to raise her son. She wanted to take care of her son, but she had to sacrifice it so that it wouldn't be a sacrifice. How do we learn? How do we learn from Jochebed? How do we make a pleasing sacrifice to God? I have two scriptures that I want to share with you about how we began to walk out our sacrifice, how we began to look what a sacrifice looks like for us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. How do we worship him? Through our sacrifice. A living and holy sacrifice. Let your bodies be a living and holy sacrifice. That is how God finds it pleasing. God finds it pleasing. But what does that look like for us? Do we do that? Is our life a sacrifice to the Lord? Do we put away the things that maybe we want, the things that we desire, for the things He desires? Are we willing to make it a living sacrifice every day? Every day I'm going to make sacrifices. Every day I'm willing to make a sacrifice to please God. We have to internally look at that in ourselves. Are we pleasing God with our life? You know, it says one of our core values. Our core values is found here. We live. We live a life that pleases God and wins respect of others. Why? Because it's in the way we live. In the way we live, it's a sacrifice. Living a sacrifice every day. You know, you've sacrificed. People sacrifice all the time for their kids. I was talking to a guy the other day, good friend of mine, and he's got kids that are very talented in athletics and sports, and they play soccer. And he travels to Louisville 4 times a week to let them play in these advanced level soccer practices, these advanced level, very, very, very advanced teams. I mean, these kids, they get scholarships and they go on to do wonderful things. 4 times a week, 3 hours a day. 4 times a week, 3 hours a day. And then, of course, you know what happens on the weekends, right? Saturdays and Sundays and are games that are traveled all over, moving all over the states and going on. People make sacrifices for their kids without thinking twice. But you know, it's a sacrifice to say, I'm going to put those things aside so that my kids are raised in the house of the Lord. That's the sacrifice that parents need to make. Because you know what? They can work themselves all that they want and try to open doors for their kids to receive wonderful things, and God can open them in an instant. Because He rewards sacrifice. He rewards sacrifice. Now, I'm not saying don't invest in your kids and their futures, because absolutely. I want them to grow up and do wonderful things. I want to send them to do wonderful things. But they should not take the place of serving and knowing the Lord. That's what sacrifice is. Many people have had to pass on jobs and opportunities for sacrifice. Present your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. Second Scripture, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. It says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that pleases God. Why is your praise a sacrifice? Jesus, a continual sacrifice of praise. Offer to Jesus a continual... Why is your praise a sacrifice? Because, you know, sometimes things are hard and things are tough in this world and in life. But when you offer a praise in the midst of your trial, when you offer a praise in the midst of your trouble, it's a sacrifice to God. God, I'm willing to go through this trial. I'm willing to go through this trouble. I'm willing to face this, but I'll never stop praising You. Do you think Abraham stopped praising God when he was taking Isaac to the mountain? No, because he kept saying, the Lord will provide a way. The Lord will provide a way. Do you think Jochebed stopped praising the Lord when she turned Moses over to Pharaoh's daughter? No, she began to praise Him. God, I know You have a plan for him. I know You said he was good. I know that You're going to use him. She continually offered a sacrifice of praise. See, too many times when a sacrifice is given, a sacrifice has to be made, then we complain about it, right? We get upset about the sacrifice because we're like, man, you know, I have to do this and no one else has to do this. Anybody else's kids ever done that? My kids do that all the time. You know, it's great when they tell you, do certain things. They say, no one else has to do that. Why do I have to do that? Because they ain't my kids. You are. You know, I have to show them, you have to make a sacrifice. Why? Because of what God called us into. When God called us to be pastors, he didn't just call Tiffany and I, he called our whole family. It's just like when you're called, you men that are sitting here today, women that are spiritual leaders, you're called to be the head of your house. And a sacrifice is required. It says, proclaiming allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and share with those in need. These are sacrifices that please God. Our sacrifice should please God when we do good. We do good. You know, sometimes doing good requires a sacrifice. Helping someone else in a time of need. Giving someone else that money when you had plans for it to do something else with it. But someone else needed it more. We talked on Wednesday night about James when it says we have to put our faith into action. Because there is an action that is required. An action that is required. I hope that today, when you reflect on this message, that you reflect that on the sacrifice that you see every day. You appreciate the sacrifice that we see, first of all, in our ladies and our mothers. But then we also challenge ourselves to make a sacrifice unto the Lord. To live a life that pleases him by sacrifice. It's not enough to stand and say, we have faith. We have faith to do what God wants us to do, but aren't willing to make a sacrifice. What are you willing to sacrifice today?
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast. And visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.